I want you to turn in two passages of Scripture. One, I want us to go back to our main text that we've been looking at in regard to fellowship this month in Acts chapter number 2. I'll read a passage there, and then I'm going to have you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So please continue to remember to pray for all these we've mentioned. Ask God's blessing on them and pray the Lord would bless and so many folk that's got physical needs, and ask God's blessing on them. Amen. Thank God for fellowship. Amen. We can fellowship, be together with God's people. And God made us to be that way. When he saved us, he added us to the body of Christ. And he caused us to be part of a family. And the Lord willing, I want to share some things with you this morning. I hope it'll be a blessing to you along that line. Back in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, I want to begin reading, of course, with verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I don't know about you, but that just sounds like fun to me. I mean, God had moved, the power of God had moved on Pentecost. Back up previous to that, 3,000 people got saved and were added to them in one day, verse 41. And then they all continued in one accord in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They had a common binding, and that was the truth, the doctrine that they had, and they fellowshiped. He makes reference here to the fact that they had a great heart of care and generosity. They sold their items and sold things and gave to people that had a need. They shared like that. And they had gladness. They had singleness of heart. And they were praising God. And God was adding to the church every day. I mean, people get saved. It was a revival time. And that's what it's all about. That fellowship atmosphere, when God's people are right with God, and right doctrinally, and they fellowship with one another, there's rejoicing, there's gladness, there's praise, there's fruit, and there's great generosity, and God ministers to people. We've experienced a good bit of that around here, and it's kind of an ongoing thing. But boy, greater, I pray that God will make it greater in my life and yours. Now, last Sunday, I preached on this thought, who are we to fellowship with? And we read in the Word of God, 1 John, he said, we fellowship with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the book of Philippians, with the Holy Spirit. And then finally with the saints, and just kind of covered all that in general. But I hope maybe this week you have practiced that a little bit. And not asking the Lord for so many things, but just praising him and thanking him and just adoring him. And God's helped me to do that this week. It's been a good week so far as that's concerned. I mean, just wake up in the morning just with a spirit of praise on my mind and heart and lips. And then through the day, just thank him for good things, for all he's done for us. And we're coming into Thanksgiving, as Brother Jeff said this morning, be here before you know it. And so, but right now, why don't we just try to really practice through the rest of this month, just thanking God for one another, thanking the Lord for his grace, and just praising and enjoying his fellowship. Now, I want you to turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read just one verse here as well, and then I'll bring the message today. We're dealing with greater fellowship, and this has to do with our fellowship in Christ. Notice what it said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just verse 9, God is faithful. Now, there's a comment at the end of that, but you could put an exclamation point there. God is faithful. I'm going to tell you right now, that ought to get real to our hearts. God is faithful. I'm not always faithful. We're not always faithful. And we failed him, but he's never failed us. He's always faithful. God is faithful. Faithful. And I thank God for that. You can depend on him. You can trust him. And when things seem like they're going wrong in your life, when there's heartache and tragedy coming your way, you can just say this with all confidence in the world. God's faithful. when needs arise that you don't know how it's going to be met, you can testify this, God is faithful. While we were praying a while ago, we mentioned all these others, and we certainly ought to remember those who have gone through the time of the hurricane and then the fires out in California. And I heard late yesterday afternoon that there are at least 39, it may have been changed overnight. I didn't see it this morning. 39 deaths because of that. I'm going to tell you, a lot of things happen across this world, and I really believe that we ought to remember what the Lord said. He said, in the last days, perilous times are coming. That's dangerous times. And there'll be wars and rumors of war, earthquakes in diverse places, and all those things. I tell you what, I believe the clock's ticking and we're getting down to the end. But one of the things that'll keep us going is in our bulletin this morning, forsake not the assembling yourselves together so much the more as you see the day approaching. The more we get closer to the Lord, the more we need to fellowship. Now look at the verse. Let me read it for you and finish the verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray God the Holy Spirit to help us. Lord, I want to thank you that God, that we have for many, many years enjoyed sweet fellowship here in this place and with this people. And God, you've blessed all of us together. And our Father, we've been good through good times and bad. We've been through joy and sorrow together. And God, you've been good to us. And Lord, it's that sweet fellowship that keeps us going, keeps us continuing on. And I'm thankful, our Father, that for those who come and visit and then, Lord, you add them to the fellowship, that, Lord, many of their testimonies are that they have experienced that sweet fellowship. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, that God, that it would be greater. I pray, God, that you'd do a work in our heart and life, that we'd, Lord, that we'd love you and we'd love people and we'd demonstrate that love. And God, that people can sense in us, our Father, what you're doing. Our Father, as I read the account of that first church on the day of Pentecost and following, how that they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers and did eat their meat with singleness and gladness of heart, and how that, God, they were praising you and souls were being added, and our Father, they were sharing and, Lord, making sure that everybody had every need met. God, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, that that's your ideal for any church body. That, God, it should be a joyous place. It should be a place where we come to worship and praise God. And, Lord, in spite of the sickness, in spite of the problems, in spite of the battles, that, Lord, there's still joy and peace because we're together. We fellowship together. We bear one another's burdens. We love one another. We exhort one another. And, God, because we're part of the family of God, Lord, you've blessed us. And, God, I thank you now. God, help me now to be a blessing to God's people. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago when I used to, not when I used to, but a little illustration God gave me several years ago when I would talk to people who were saved, but they were not active in church. You know, you go out and you try to win people to the Lord, but then so much of our ministry is involved in trying to get people back in church or get people who've gotten cold out. And it's just a little simple thing that the Lord gave me. But, you know, still a lot of people cook with charcoal. And you know how you light charcoal. You don't take and you light one, put one coal over there, one coal over there, and one coal over there. If you really want it to get hot, you pull them together. Put them all together. Then you put on the lighter fluid, or unless you got the kind that's already got it in it. But you put them all together and you light it and it blazes up and then the flame goes out. And then what happens is they have ignited, and each one of them got a little bit of a flame in them and a little fire in it. And the more they're together, that heat is multiplied and it spreads through the whole group of charcoal. And that's how it is in church. We come together, God put us together as a body, and we're to minister to one another. You know, if you get off yonder and say at the house, people, I go visit people and they're going through problems in their family, they're going through sickness, and they just say, I got so many things going on, I'm not in no shape to go to church now. I say, when you got a lot of things going on, that's when you go to church. When you got problems, when you got burdens, when you're hurting, and when things are not right, that's when you need to get around God's people. You need that fellowship to be around God's people. You'll stay at the house and you'll get the poochie mouth. And you want to sing that song, like they used to sing on Hee-Ha, you know, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And you'll be like that because the devil will tell you, you're the only one that's got that problem. You're the only one that's hurting. You're the only one that feels that. But that's not true. We've all got those things. Everybody goes through battles. Everybody goes through heartache. Everybody goes through sorrow and loneliness. But when God put us together, He put us together for a reason, that we might fellowship with one another, that we might be a blessing to one another. And that's why He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This word here, and it says in 1 Corinthians, where He said that God has called us unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, God called us to salvation. There's a salvation call. And He said, no man comes to the Father but by Me, and no man comes to Me except the Spirit of God draw him. And so the Spirit of God calls through the preaching of the gospel, through the testimony of believers, through the gospel message in a track or CD or ever have, but the Spirit of God calls you to salvation. And the shepherd goes out and finds the sheep. But notice it said here that incorporated in that call was a call to fellowship. He did not save you and set you off by yourself. He added you to a fellowship. We're called unto the fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. I'm glad God didn't want us to go by ourselves. I'm glad that God didn't want us to finish out this journey and be isolated and all alone, that He gave us people. Now, this word, the Greek word is koinonia, and it's the word that we use for fellowship, but it also means communion. It means a partnership. I mentioned last week, it means a companionship. It is those who have a great sense of familiarity, that is, they know one another well. They have a great deal of confidence in one another. They can share one another's burdens. They can weep with those who weep. They can rejoice with those who rejoice, and they can share their heart with people and know that there are people who really care and really love them, and people who would support them and be there for them, who'll be with them in their times of joy, who'll be with them in their times of sorrow. And that's what that fellowship's all about. It's about us coming together. We fellowship in the joy of our salvation together. I tell you, it blesses me. This morning when Brother Jeff was sharing, we sang that old song, I Love to Tell the Story. And then Jeff mentioned that fact, that one verse that he really liked, and he read it, and it said, I love to tell the story for those who know it best. And thank God, when we get together, it just blesses me. And to hear people testifying. And Justin did a great job yesterday morning at men's prayer breakfast. By the way, thank you guys for coming. We had one of the biggest crowds I think we've had in a long time, and Justin did a great job. But a lot of people shared testimonies. And I intentionally try not to say anything in situations like that. I just want to listen. But boy, whenever I hear what God's done for people and how God's blessing people and what He's done for people, it blesses me. And when I hear about people sharing about their testimony, it blesses me. And so we have that, the joy of shared salvation. But now, I want to just pick out a few of those things this morning. I want you to go to the book of Philippians, if you will. And I want us to talk about some of our fellowship in the body of Christ. Our fellowship in the body of Christ. Look over in the book of Philippians in chapter number 1. And I want to read this to you. Philippians chapter 1. And I'll go ahead with verse 1 and read down through verse number 5. And in fact, I'm going to read a little further than that, verse 7. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul wrote 13 books of this Bible. Timothy was a young man that he knew, and he became a follower, and he was discipled by Paul. But the Holy Ghost of God's using Paul to write this. But I always loved the way the Holy Spirit of God led Paul to say it. He said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Christ. He kind of put himself and Timotheus on the same level. Paul didn't think he was a big shot Christian. He didn't think he was a big time preacher. He was just like everybody else. He was saved by grace. And boy, that speaks of his fellowship and his relationship with those that he knew. And they all fell on equal plane, although they knew he was a spiritual giant. They knew that he had a direct line to heaven just about. But Paul put it that way. Paul said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Now, let me just say this. They were all, every saved person in the church at Philippi, Paul said, they are all saints. Now, he's not singling out just a few in those churches. He said, all the saints that are in the churches. Everybody that's in the church is considered a saint. Now, you kind of get in your mind that a saint is somebody, you know, with wings and playing a harp or something way up yonder. No, that's not it at all. The word saint means that which has been saved and set apart, dedicated to God. And so every saved person in the biblical sense is a saint. You've been saved and God chose you and God put you in his body and you've been set apart to love and serve him. Paul to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi and to the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Boy, what a heart he had for people. That's what fellowship's all about. Knowing people and caring about people. Now, I at one time, I was pretty good at remembering everybody's name. Brother Jimmy and I were talking about this morning. But right now, sometime I'll look you straight in the face and you wonder what I'm thinking. I'm trying to think of your name. And when I say, hey, brother, that means I don't remember your name right then. Amen. Look, I do remember who's a brother and who's a sister most of the time. But Paul said, I have you in my heart. And he said, I thank God upon every remembrance. Now, what a spirit of an attitude to have. That's what creates fellowship. That idea that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are equal in Christ, and thank God for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I could go through this congregation and talk about everybody in here just about, and I could mention to you something that you were a blessing in my heart. I was telling Ricky this morning, I preached the other night, I think, I couldn't remember where it was at, but somebody came up to me and I had mentioned Brother Ricky in the message, and they came up to me and said, I know Brother Ricky. And said, there's a connection between work. And he said, I know Ricky. He said, he's a great and godly man. He said, he is the same all the time. And he said, he's real. He's very real. Boy, that blessed me. And I thank God for him. Thank God for Ricky. Thank God for that man's testimony. Ricky didn't even know who he was. And I didn't remember his name. And not sure what even town he lived in. But he knew Ricky. And see, you know, you're a blessing to a lot of people you don't realize. And in this congregation, there are people that you blessed, and they don't realize. And Joe Barry, I was looking at him back there, back and doing all the sound and everything. There are people that talk to me about Joe Barry singing, about Ricky singing, about all those who sing and things they do. And they never speak to you, but they speak to me. And I know you're a blessing to them. And your life is a blessing. Some of you don't sing or teach or preach or anything else. You're a blessing, your life and your testimony. And some of you, it's just your smile and the way you greet them. And I tell you, Paul, he said, I want to thank God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of, and we'll make it southern, you all, amen. He's writing to all of them, all the saints. And so he's saying, I thank God for all of you, every one of you. But now watch, always in every prayer of mine for, there you go. I knew he was a southerner, you all. Making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul said, I'm thanking God for your fellowship in the gospel. And we have fellowship. We're called to the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation brought us into fellowship with him and with the Father and with the Holy Ghost and with one another. And Paul said, I want to thank God for your fellowship in the gospel. What was it that brought us into that fellowship? It was the gospel message. It was the gospel truth. I want you to notice in the first place this morning the uniqueness of that fellowship. I'm saved, you're saved. But you go out here through this community, you go around this nation, you go around the world, you'll find a very small percentage of people who have experienced what you've experienced. Very small percentage of people who've been born again by the grace of God. They know their sins are gone. They know heaven's their home. There's a very small percentage. It is a unique experience that you and I have had the God of this universe to come and convict us of our sin and to show us the Savior and that we received him by faith and that he took away all our sin and made us a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, gave us a new nature, and give the Holy Spirit of God to be the seal until the day of redemption, the resurrection of the body, and he gave us a home in heaven. It's already reserved. That is a unique position, and you're part of a unique thing. You're part of our fellowship in the gospel of Christ. Now, it doesn't have to be that way, because there are thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions that have heard the gospel. They didn't respond. They didn't get saved. There are many others who haven't heard yet, and maybe they will get saved. But you're part of a unique fellowship. God saved you by His grace, in that while you were dead in trespasses and sin, you hath He quickened. You experience the grace of God. That is a unique thing in this world for man and woman, boy and girl, to know that their sins are gone. And boy, what a unique thing. Listen, it is so unique, even the angels don't understand it. They can't comprehend it, because He never made provision to save fallen angels, but He did for us. Oh, we're called into the gospel, the fellowship of the gospel. Our fellowship is in that good news that Jesus Christ died for our sin, and we got born again by the grace of God. You can get out and get around people that don't know Christ and talk to them about what a joy it is. They look at you, they don't have a clue. They don't have any idea what it's about. They can't understand it. But what a unique situation you're in, that God saved you by His grace, and you're called into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's through the fellowship of the gospel. But not only the uniqueness of it, but the unity of it. God saved us. The Bible said there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. The unity of it. There's one faith. There's one body. There's one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're part of that body. The unity of it. Now, here's the thing about it. There are people in North Carolina, South Carolina, Wyoming. This morning, I got texts from the Philippines and from Wyoming. And both of them were saying, we're praying for you, preacher, and we pray that God will bless you today. And that's a pretty fair piece of heart. From the Philippines to Johnson County and all the way out to Wyoming. But I don't care where you go, if you meet Christians, there is a unity in that meeting. There's a unity. What a unity is in this fellowship. I mean, listen, you have a little group here and a little group there, a little group there. But in the overall scheme of the thing, that we're part of the body of Christ, part of the body of Christ. Look over in the book of Galatians. You're in Philippians. And just go to the book of Galatians. Go back a little bit. You'll find the book of Galatians. And in chapter number 2, I want to read verse number 9. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. There's a verse here that I want to show you. It's just kind of a unique thing. And he said this. And he said, when James, Cephas, and John, whom seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace. Now, what happened here is that they have come. Paul is talking about the fact when James and Peter and John came from Jerusalem to see him, meet him. He said when they came, they were seen to be pillars. They were leaders, I guess you'd say. And then he said, they perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, and that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. He said, when they came, the thing that gave them a relationship with us was grace. When they came and saw the grace of God that was on us, and they gave us the right hand of fellowship, what a unifying thing it is, the grace. It doesn't divide those, it sets us apart from the world, but it unites us to those who've experienced grace. And they gave them the right hand of fellowship. You know, when we have somebody join the church and get saved, and I have you to come by and shake the hand, I say, give them the right hand of fellowship. That's where that comes from. Well, you say, Brother Billy, what's it mean if somebody comes in to visit the church and they feel like God wants them to come here and they say, we want to move our letter, we want to come by statement or get saved, want to be baptized, be a member, and you say, give them the right hand of fellowship. Here's what it means. It means, number one, it is a sign of acceptance. And when Peter and John, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Paul and to Barnabas, they say, we accept you as brothers. You're our brothers. We accept you in the relationship you have with Christ has made you our brothers. But also it's a sign of affection. Gave the right hand of fellowship, they said. It means that we have a unifying love. God shed abroad the love in our heart. And we love you. We love you, want to love you like Christ loved you, love you like God loved. We do love you. And it's a sign of acceptance. It's a sign of affection. But it's also, it's a sign of approval. And what he said in this passage of Scripture, if you go on and read it further, that they recognized that he'd been saved. They had experienced the grace of God. They were accepting them as brothers. They were showing their love for them. But they were also showing their approval and their support of their ministry. That we believe that God has called you to do something. And we, as your brothers, we're going to fellowship with you in this thing. And we are approving of what you're going to do. And we're gonna be there to pray for you. We'll be there to support you. We'll be there to help you. And we're gonna be there. There's the fellowship of the gospel. Will you turn over to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians. And I got a brand new clock back there every time I think about looking at it. And so I'm watching it this morning. I want you to be late getting out. And 2 Corinthians, look at chapter number 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, here's this wonderful story. Verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Now, what's he saying? He's saying that these believers over there in Macedonia, that they have been through a lot of trouble, they've been through a lot of trials, they've been through a lot of problems. And in all that they've been through, yet God moved on their heart. And while they were in deep poverty, that they showed great liberality. They gave out of their poverty. Verse 3, "For to this power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying for us that would much entreaty that we would receive the gift." That is, these churches of Macedonia had taken up gifts to send to the saints in Jerusalem. They wanted to help to meet their need. They didn't have much themselves, but they had a kindred fellowship. And it said, they were praying that he would take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So there is a fellowship in the gospel. It gives us great, that's a uniqueness to that, there's a unity to that. But now he said, there's a fellowship of ministering to the saints. Now, I love fellowship. I love what we call fellowship. I love sitting around eating at homecoming and all those things and all those, that's part of it. The Bible said that they continued daily and one accord from house to house to eat their bread and so on. And that's all part of it. But here's another wonderful ministry. It is the fellowship of ministering to the saints. It's not just sitting around and fellowshipping, reminiscing and talking about whatever. Talking about the ball. Y'all pray for Carolina. They in the intensive care, the whole outfit. But, you know, there is a fellowship in ministry. Did you know that? I mean, we talk about, we need to be together more. We need to fellowship together more. We need to have more fish fries, hot dog cookouts, all of that. I think we just need to spend time together, a few families together, several families together, church together. But he said, here's a fellowship. It's the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Now, let me just kind of give you an idea. Back with our handyman ministry. And they've done a lot. And Brother Mike West and those who and headed that up, JC had help with that. And then Brother Terry Thompson. But they in all of that, they talked about, they came over to our house, you know. And I wasn't expecting that. Didn't even ask for that. But they came over. Man, listen, they painted. They redone the deck. They done all that. But in all of that, they worked like a bunch of horses over there. But in all of that, I just sense a great sense of fellowship. There was a joy in doing that. A bunch of guys got together and went down to Anna Ruth, and they did a lot of work down there. And it was hard work, but there was a fellowship to it. There was a ministering to the saints. And so when in this idea of ministering to the saints is the concept of praying for one another. There is the concept of exhorting and encouraging one another. But there's also that idea of ministering to the needs of people. You know, we all think about it at Christmas time. that it's better to give than to receive, and when you give, it makes you feel good. Makes you, you know, just kind of a good feeling when you give to people. But, you know, that ought to be true year round, hadn't it? When God moved in such a great way at Pentecost, the Bible said they sold their goods and everything, and they gave to everyone as everyone had need. People had a need. Boy, they just sell something and meet that need. And that there's no sense of obligation or duty. They were just out of love. And they were happy to do it. They didn't give grudgingly. They gave half. And so to meet the needs of others. I think about, you know, sometimes when you get a little bigger, the church, you can't do everything like we used to. But we still need, you got to keep that a big church with a small church mentality, I guess you'd say. But I remember years ago, I could go all the way back when I was in Reedsville and over here too. But I remember we getting Timmy Benson's old bus and all of us piling up on that and going Christmas caroling. Our latest circle would get together boxes and we'd pile out of that bus and we'd go up there and we'd start singing Christmas carols. And then at some point in time, we'd stop. We'd walk up, the kids would walk up, and the kids would have gifts for all these people, and every one of them just about overwhelmed and blessed when they got them. And then I would say a word or two, and we'd generally have prayer, and then we'd sing Wish You a Merry Christmas. And man, we'd pile back on that bus, and it was just great fellowship. We were ministering to people, but it bound us together in fellowship of ministry. There's a fellowship of ministry. And since God's burdened Brother Tim's heart and Wendy and all the work they've done on the drama and the passion play, these people who come out here and work and do all those things, it's work, but it's a fellowship about it. It's a binding fellowship. It's a blessing fellowship. When they get together and work, and when you do that, it is such a blessing when you get together and work. And then when you do that, you're honoring God. And you're ministering on God's behalf. God will meet needs that way. God blesses people through people. And God does that. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But I have everything God's ever blessed me with just about came through the hands of, I'd say everything, came through the hands of God's people. That's how God blesses us. That's how and it is the ministry of fellowship, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, ministering to one another. And you know what? I remember hearing Dr. R.G. Lee one time talking about a situation. He had this lady in his church that was just, she was just really kind of down and bitter and everything was bad. And she kept talking. She'd come in his office and she'd sit down and he's listening to her. He wrote down some names. And when she got through talking, he said, turned the thing around. He said, you know these people? And she said, yeah. He said, this lady right here said her husband died not long ago and she's been awful lonely. You think you might could go by there and just visit with her and talk to her? And see, this right here, this lady here, her child died suddenly and she needs somebody. You're a mother. Yeah, I'm a mother. How would you feel if your child died? Oh, I could say. She said, why don't you just go by and see if you could take her out to lunch? And then he went down the list, and she agreed to do that. And he said she went by, and she through that week, she took people out to lunch. She took food to their house. She took them, went by and just sat and talked to them, read the Word of God with them, prayed with them. And on Sunday morning, when she walked in the building, he said she was like a different person. She had a radiance on her face, a joy in her heart. And he said, how are you doing? She said, I'm wonderful. And the problem is sometimes everything is about us. It's all, you know, here we are, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And if we turn our hearts toward one another and just get out of our mully grubs and forget about our problem and start helping minister to other people and do it with a joyful heart and do it out of love, I mean, God will bless us. God will do that. Well, there's the fellowship of minister of the saints. I'm feeling like God wants me to stop right here. I got about three or four more, but I won't deal with them this morning. But boy, listen, if we could just understand those two concepts, wouldn't it be great that we have a fellowship in the gospel that is unique? Man, listen, you're part of something unique in this world. And sometimes we get to thinking about, boy, there's not many Christians around. But wow, you think about that. How many billionaires you think there are in America. I don't know. They kind of got a unique club, don't they? You know, they don't feel sorry for theirself because it ain't many of them. Somewhere along the line, there's probably the richest man in America. He probably don't feel sorry for himself that he's the only one, richest man in the world, because he understands what great benefit it's got. Hey, look, we're a group, relatively number-wise, what you see, a small number, but we're the richest people in the world. My, listen, we got heaven as our home. We have an inheritance incorruptible, fadeth not away. We have a worldwide fellowship of believers just like us. We have the God of this universe living inside of us to walk with us and talk with us and teach us. I mean, we have a direct line to heaven. President Trump, not one of us could have a personal interview with him without going through 100 different channels to even speak to him. But this morning, before daylight, I stepped into the heaven itself at the throne of grace, and I spoke to my Heavenly Father, and I was confident He heard me, and I felt like He spoke to me. What a uniqueness you have in the gospel. What a unity we have in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship, and then the fellowship of ministering to the saints. You know what you need, what we need? Best therapy in the world is to love other people, minister to them, care about them, get our eyes off of ourselves. Christ said, I did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and give my life a ransom. I need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to bow our heads for prayer this morning for just a few minutes. I pray God the Holy Ghost to help you. We've got guests and visitors here this morning. But you know, I have said many a time that people may never remember what I preach on, but they will never forget how they're treated. And as pastor, I want to say I thank you that the vast majority of people who ever visit this church, and I will visit with them or talk with them later, they all commend you that they felt God here. They knew God was in this place. And the people were so loving and kind. That's the way it ought to be. We have a unique fellowship. We've been born again by the grace of God. What a blessing it is. Greater fellowship. I need to have greater fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and greater fellowship with God's people. I know we're all busy, but let's take every opportunity we can to fellowship, to spend some time together. If it's just sometime, a few minutes before service, after service, don't be in such a hurry. Take time to speak to people. By the way, don't ever walk by one of these children without speaking to them. Call their name if you can remember it, because these children will remember your kindness. Speak to all the senior citizens. Speak to every person you can. Just let them know you love them. Give them the right hand of fellowship, your approval, your acceptance, your affection, that you love them. You count them as a brother or sister in the Lord. I want us to stand together. There's an old song we used to sing called Make Me a Blessing. I'm going to ask you this morning to do something. If you're here and you're not saved, I sure would love to see you get saved. I'm not ignoring you this morning. I pray God will save you. But if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, let's pray God to help us as we emphasize greater fellowship this month, that we would fellowship more with the Lord Jesus Christ, more with God the Father, God the Son, and with God's people. Let's enjoy one another. Be a blessing one to another. And pray as you come around the altar this morning, God, make me a blessing. Help me to learn the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Just obey the Lord this morning. Let God speak to your heart. Brother Ricky, if you will, the Lord leads you to just sing a song this morning, a verse or two. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to love you, Father. Love you more, Jesus. Love the Holy Ghost, Lord. Pray, God, you'd help me to demonstrate my love to the saints more. God, help us to learn the fellowship of ministering to the saints. It's a joy to be a blessing. God, I pray you'd help us to learn that. In Jesus' name. Just obey the Lord now. I don't know what God wants you to do, but I pray that you obey Him tonight, today. If you need to come, you come get around this old-fashioned altar. Say, God, make me a blessing. I want to be used of God. Don't get so busy you don't have time to be a blessing to people. God speaks to your heart. You come.